I was here a couple of times last year, so those who remember, bad luck. let me begin in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming here as your people. Lord, we think of those who are not here today on holidays and are getting other rest. We pray, Lord, that you'll protect them and sustain them and refresh them. And Lord, those of us who meet around your word today, we pray, Lord, that your spirit may work through us. Lord, there's some hard things in the passage I'm going to look at today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take whatever experiences we've got and however you want to use it, Lord, that your spirit may do work with us. And we may leave here this morning just slightly changed because we've met with you. Amen. Well, I'm going to start this morning by doing something a little bit unusual. I want you to close your eyes. Let's see if you can visualise this scene. You just had an argument with one of your best friends. It's not an ordinary difference of opinion. This is a real humdinger. You've lashed out and you've told them a few home truths that they really deserve to hear. And some of the things they said about you, it just surprises you that anyone could think that way. You never realised how cruel and heartless they could be. I don't want to be a friend with someone like that, you think to yourself. But then, a little bit later, you cool down. And the guilt starts to set in a bit. Maybe I did say a few things that weren't quite true. Perhaps I did misunderstand some of the things they said about me. But they started it. Well, at least it wasn't all my fault. When they come back to me, we'll both say a few nice words to each other, swap an apology or two, and then it's all done and dusted. Best friends forever once again. Okay, you can open your eyes. Does that sound vaguely familiar? Sometimes. Perhaps I did make a few mistakes, but it's not all my fault. Let them come to me first. Well, as you've discovered today, the topic I'm going to talk about is forgiveness. And do you know the hardest thing about forgiveness? Why we are so reluctant to forgive other people? It's because forgiveness is just not fair. Long after you forgive someone, the wound still lives on in your memory. I can forgive you for embarrassing me in front of all my other friends, but the next time we all come together again, the hurt and the anxiety, even the anger, still remains. Forgiveness is just not fair because it ignores important issues like right and wrong. Forgiveness is not fair because it takes away the justice of punishment, the punishment that we deserve, or at least we desire when someone has done something to hurt us and wrong us in some way. Well, this morning I'm going to look at the story of Joseph to discover what the Bible has to say about this difficult topic of forgiveness. Let me remind you a bit of the background in Joseph's story. Joseph had had a very difficult relationship with his brothers, partly because he was dad's favourite, you know, I think in terms of the coat of many colours, that sort of thing. Partly because he dobbed his brothers into dad, which is not always a very good way to make friends, is it? And partly because he told them about a dream that he had, which they interpreted as him ruling over them. Whatever the justification the brothers might have felt in the way they treated Joseph, the brothers decided, let's get rid of this pesky brother. When they had the opportunity, they decided, let's kill him. At the very last moment, they changed their mind and sold him off to slavery, which was as good as death in those days. The story goes on to remind us that God was always in control of the whole situation. And then through a whole series of amazing events, Joseph ends up becoming the number two person in all of Egypt. In the reading today, we read about how Joseph's brothers come to him without recognising whom he is. But of course, Joseph recognises them straight away. But they've come to him. Why? Because there's been a famine in the land and they've come to buy food, lest they all starve to death. Have you ever tried to make sense of all those twists and turns that occur in the account where Joseph tries to reconcile himself with his brothers? One moment he accuses them of being spies and throws them into jail. The next moment we read he's overcome with sorrow and hides his face and blubbers like a little baby. He plays tricks on them. He hides money in their sacks. When they've come to buy goods, he puts the money back in their sacks as they go away. He accuses them of stealing from him. Why all this mean and petty game? Why all these actions that he takes against them? Well, it's because Joseph is struggling. He's struggling with the unfairness of forgiveness. It's against our character, our very nature, to forgive other people. The natural world, the world where we all live, is not a forgiving world. Rather, it's a ruthless world. You don't read about dolphins forgiving sharks or eating their playmates, do you? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, not a dog-forgive-dog world. Most of us first encountered the rules of survival in the school playground many, many years ago, where we learned very quickly you've got to stand up for yourself. You've got to defend yourself because no one else is going to look after you in those situations. Many businesses operate under the same harsh principle, as does much of politics, even in sport. An umpire is never going to announce, well, look, you're really out, but because you're such a good guy and you play the game so fairly, I'm going to pretend I didn't see it hit the wicket. It's a really vicious world, a black and white world out there in so many ways. The psychologist Sigmund Freud showed how well he understood human nature when he wrote, "One must forgive one's enemies, but not before they've been hanged." Forgiveness is an unnatural act. But that creates a huge problem for those of us who call ourselves Christians. Because Christianity is chock-a-block full of forgiveness. Whenever we recite the Lord's Prayer, remember what we say? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus even taught us, hey, forgive your enemies. Forgive your enemies. It must have been hard enough for Joseph to forgive his lying, selfish, cruel brothers. Forgive your enemies, though. Why would God require of us such an unnatural act? Well, allow me to offer a few suggestions this morning. Firstly, we can change slides now. Forgiveness is the only way to end the cycle of blame and hurt in a relationship. In the Lord's Prayer, there's a qualification that's placed on forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, it's one thing to get caught up in a tit-for-tat, dog-eat-dog cycle with a friend. It's another thing entirely to get caught up in such a cycle with Almighty God. On the 1st of March, 1990, the world witnessed a drama of forgiveness acted out on the stage of world politics. East Germany had just elected its first freely elected parliament. No doubt there were many weighty issues that that parliament had to consider as they grappled with the emergence of East Germany from behind the Iron Curtain. But the first official act was to vote on this extraordinary resolution. We, the first freely elected parliamentarians of the German Democratic Republic, on behalf of the citizens of this land, admit responsibility for the humiliation, expulsion, and murder of Jewish men, women, and children. We feel sorrow and shame and acknowledge this burden of German history. We ask all the Jews of the world to forgive us. The resolution was passed unanimously. The members then rose to their feet for a long ovation, and then they paused for a moment of silence in memory of the Jews who had died in the Holocaust. What did such an act of parliament accomplish? Certainly it couldn't bring back all those murdered Jews. What it did do though, what it accomplished, is it loosened the stranglehold of guilt that had pressed around the neck of East Germany for nearly 50 years. 5 decades, during which their communist leaders had denied any need whatsoever for forgiveness. So forgiveness ends the cycle of blame in a relationship. And secondly, it relieves us of the guilt we all feel. And it accomplishes both of these through a remarkable transaction. When I was booked for speeding, quite considerable some time ago, I'm pleased to say, it was because I was running late for an appointment and, hey, you know, I had to sort of go a little bit faster to get there. And it was because, look, it was a safe road. I was driving safely, a divided road. There was no danger to anyone. And we all know that the police have got some sort of targets and they've got to sort of, you know, put radars in places like that to catch innocent people like me. And, you know, you are filling the dotted line, isn't it? And yet, I also know that speed is the number one killer on our roads. After every long weekend, even after the school holidays, when we hear those tragic statistics of all those who are killed and maimed on our roads, do you ever find yourself questioning, how could some drivers be so irresponsible as to speed like that? When I forgive, I'm acknowledging I am human. I make mistakes. I do wrong things. Forgiveness helps me to realise I'm no different than them out there, the baddies that we always want to pick on. If I want to be given the opportunity of a second chance, if I want you to forgive me for the things that I do wrong, forgiveness is me saying, I grant to you the same privilege I want for myself. So the third aspect of forgiveness, it puts us on the same side as the wrongdoer. So how are we going to rate Joseph on this forgiveness scale? Well, let me remind you a bit about what the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 42, not long after Joseph, the brothers had come to see Joseph, they talk amongst themselves. Let me read it to you. They said to one another, we can put the passage up if you like. They said to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us. Reuben replied, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood. You know, as you look back at the story of Joseph, I think it's quite natural, it's quite understandable that he was reluctant to forgive his brothers when they first appeared before him. But surely he should have acted once they acknowledged their guilt. Even if, I guess you could technically argue, they didn't really acknowledge it to him because they didn't understand that he understood their language. As it says in verse 23, they did not realise Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. Surely, though, Joseph could have forgiven them once they acknowledged their wrong. So how did he go after that moment? How are we going to rate Joseph's forgiveness after that moment when he knew that they were guilty and they knew that they were guilty? Well, I think if you're going to be honest, as we read through the story of Joseph, the way he treated his brothers was closer to revenge than forgiveness. He locked him up for years in the same jail that he'd been locked up while the brothers go back and get their younger brother. He plays with their mind by returning the silver that they paid for the goods that they got from Egypt on two different occasions. And finally, he frames the youngest brother, Benjamin, as a thief, knowing how much anguish that would cause to the brothers that their younger brother was going to be locked up as a thief, maybe for the rest of his life. You see, however you want to interpret all those twists and turns that Joseph goes through, it is clear Joseph is struggling because forgiveness is not easy. In chapter 45, we read, "Then Joseph could no longer control himself, and he cried out, 'Have everyone leave my presence.' So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still living?' But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence." You know, even when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, am I being a bit too hard? Am I being a bit cynical to suggest that he couldn't resist one final barb? Is my father still living? Perhaps it's an innocent question, a genuine inquiry. Or is it one final taunt? Don't forget, guys, you won't have to just answer to me for what you've done. You've got to go home and talk to Dad about what you've done, what you did to me so many years ago, how you lied to him about me and my fate. Maybe I'm being cynical, who knows? And then Joseph finally bites the bullet and he forgives his brothers. Chapter 45, verse 4. "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Do you notice how the tone has changed dramatically? It's changed from revenge. It's changed from trying to make it hard for the brothers, make them suffer, to now being other person focused. "Don't be distressed or angry with yourselves for selling me." Hey guys, don't feel bad about it. Don't feel guilty about how you mistreated me in the past. See, Joseph is now in full-scale forgiveness mode. In verse 8, "So then it was not me, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Might change it. Can change the slide again? Now, I don't want to push the idea of my 3 points too much. I mean, you know, it's not quite biblical, my 3 points. It's not inspired by God, maybe. But could this last bit be Joseph putting himself in the place of his brothers, on the same side as his brothers? "Notwithstanding your dubious motives, take comfort. Don't get too upset. God was actually in control of the whole situation, of you and me, that whole time. Forgiveness is not natural. It is not part of our usual experience in life. Worse than that, it is just not fair. And praise God that it isn't. Because if it were, none of us would have any chance of standing before God. The story of Joseph is an illustration of forgiveness, but it's a bit of a flawed illustration of forgiveness. Fortunately, as Christians, we can look to a much better role model when it comes to this question of forgiveness. Jesus accepted the punishment that we deserve. What he did by that was he took the initiative. He ended the cycle of blame. God's forgiveness, or you might be more familiar with the word grace, because that's the word we understand better, isn't it? God's grace overcame that stranglehold of guilt that makes us ashamed to turn to him. And by doing this as a human being, as a man, as one of us, he put himself on the same side as the wrongdoer. Though, of course, we know that Jesus had no need to be forgiven of anything. And as a result, the forgiveness God freely grants to us, we can treat others with the compassion and the love and the forgiveness we seek for ourselves. Forgiveness is never easy. It wasn't easy for God either. But when we appreciate the enormity of God's forgiveness of us, somehow our petty little squabbles don't seem that significant after all, do they? Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different again in this sermon. I'm going to ask you again to close your eyes for a moment. And we're going to reflect. I'm going to get your open in a minute, but leave them closed for a second. We're going to reflect on what's a fairly famous prayer. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who lived in the 13th century. Now, he probably didn't actually write this prayer, so don't be too disappointed. But it's a great message. It's a great prayer talking about our relationship with each other. I'm going to ask you to remain seated. That's the unusual thing for in church. I'm going to get you to open your eyes. You can, if you like, you can sing along quietly in your head or even quietly yourself. But just treat this as a moment to reflect, to contemplate on God's prayer.
And we're
Forgiveness is not natural. It is definitely not part of our usual experience in life. But worse than that, forgiveness is just not fair. And praise God that it isn't. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace shown to us. Help us to treat others with the same love and consideration as we learn to genuinely forgive.